Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone with Veronica Monet, your friendly former sex worker and certified sexologist. The Shame-Free Zone is a safe place for your questions and your secrets about all things sexual.
Welcome to the Shame-Free Zone. This is your host, Veronica Monet, and it is 2010. I have been gone for the holidays and playing reruns, and I missed you, and it's great to be back. And I am live in both Facebook and Twitter, so if you happen to have friended me on either one of those, feel free to tune in right now because we've got a pretty hot show tonight. We're going to be talking about what may or may not happen in 2010 with a real-life psychic. And, you know, before you, I know a lot of our listeners here on BBS Radio, they're very much on board for psychics, but some of my friends out there who are tuning in through Facebook and Twitter may not be quite so open-minded. And I just want you to think for a minute, this woman is actually helped solve crimes for the FBI and the police, so she's the real deal. Her name is Hallie Elise, and she's actually conversant in a lot of topics, not just psychic phenomena. So universal principles, I think that's always interesting, energy practices, hypnosis, and she's certified in divinity, clinical hypnotherapy, psychosocial issues, and Jungian dream theory. So we have a really, really talented, intelligent, accomplished woman here tonight. And she's going to tell us a little bit about herself and also, I hope, Mysteries by Hallie Elise, which was apparently established in 1995. Hallie, welcome to the Shame-Free Zone.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Wonderful to have you here. We've actually known each other for a few years. And
yes, I was talking with my former business partner earlier. I said, do you know that Veronica was on my show 5 years ago? God, how time flies.
And I am so sorry. I've had a show now for about a year and a half, so I should have had you on a long time ago myself.
Okay.
But, so what is Mysteries by Hallie?
Mysteries by Hallie Elise, Inc. is a multifaceted company that encompasses spiritual and holistic practices to help individuals become empowered in their life, as well as to help them unblock anything that's kept them from getting to the place where they want to be and see clearly the direction they're going in, as well as it serves as a venue to teach people how to really tap into their own innate resources and their own intuitive abilities. And I say intuitive versus psychic because people tend to get scared off sometimes when you use the word psychic. They think of somebody with a crystal ball. And the truth of the matter is everyone has intuitive abilities. Everyone comes into this earth with talents and with abilities. And it's just a matter of if you acknowledge it, if you develop it. And like any other talent or gift, some people come in as concert pianists who can listen to music and automatically play. Others have to work for years to master it, but everybody's capable.
Well, that's perhaps one of the most humble stances I've ever heard taken by a psychic, especially somebody with his credentials like yourself. A lot of times it seems like there's kind of this posturing, you know, that, yes, I was born with this gift and I knew I had the gift.
Well, I did, but that's besides the point.
Yeah, but it's interesting that you're saying we're all psychic. So, but okay, but you know, let's test this theory here. Cops never come to me and ask me to find missing children. They have come to you and asked you to find missing children, and you've found the missing children. So, why is it that if we're all psychic, that you are able to put yours into practice and actually help save lives?
Well, as I mentioned earlier, you know, everybody has talents, but it's a matter of the awareness of that talent, whether you're afraid of it, whether it's developed or not. Plus, I truly believe that each of us comes into this world with a specific purpose. So, you know, your purpose might have been specifically to become a sexologist, to specifically have the experiences you did. And oftentimes we think it's choice. I think it's truly a combination of a universal contract that we come into this world with, as well as the coupling of individual free will. So if you are good at something, then people are going to come after you. They are going to pursue you for that thing that you're really good at, even though you can have the ability for other things. And I think it's likened to if you have a kid in high school who's great at art and they do it and they win all sorts of awards, but they become a medical student. And you say, wow, why did they go into medicine? You know, here they did this artwork. And you come to find out, well, just because they can do the artwork doesn't mean that's where their love is, or that doesn't mean that it's their biggest talent. So I guess it's a roundabout way to say that if you are establishing yourself in a certain way for a certain field, then that is the thing that you will be known for, and that is the thing that people will call upon you for.
Well, now, we already have a posting here on Facebook, and it's not very friendly.
Okay, fair enough. What did they say?
I had posted, this was the question that I posited about a half an hour, 45 minutes ago. I asked people, I said, Holly Elise has solved crimes for the FBI and the police. Wouldn't you like to know what she has to say about your life? Tamil Noonan comes back and says, no, not really. The FBI under whatever necessary ruined my life and that of my female friends. Stick to investigating crimes, not play acting as thought goofball Gestapo. I solved crimes too, by the way, and everyone I've ever worked with has no respect for these goofballs. So I'm not entirely sure about this person's background, but it kind of sounds like he's saying that people in law enforcement don't actually have a lot of respect for psychics. And
That's true. That is true, yes.
Yeah.
I worked with a specific agent who was in head of a department for the FBI, and she came to me privately and asked me if I would assist her with things, and I did. But it's kind of fascinating at how many people in law enforcement say, oh, don't believe in that, and yet not only have law enforcement as far as local agencies and FBI used psychics, but our government has as well with remote viewing.
Yes,
at the Stargate.
It kind of comes down to, I used to be addicted to this show where psychics were solving crimes, and it was, I don't remember the name of it, but one of the things that I found really infuriating about the show was that the female psychics especially would say, well, I don't solve crimes. All I do is help the police. The police do all the work. And then the police would come on and say, we solved this crime with her help. And every once in a while somebody would say, well, we really couldn't have done it without her. But a lot of times it just seemed like there was this, like, yeah, we needed her. We're glad we solved the case. But I still don't believe in psychics.
Right. No, that's okay. I used to have a booth at the Renaissance Festival in Fort Lauderdale. I did this for 10 years in a row, not going on the road per se, but just in one of the local venues. And security and I were very friendly because inevitably somebody would lose a child or try to find somebody who was drunk and shouldn't be wandering about by themselves. And they'd come to me and go, okay, this is who we're missing. Tell us where to go. And they'd go, and then somebody would, you know, call back on the radio and say, okay, they were there. Thank you. We found them. And yet, if you had asked any of security, would they go to a psychic, they'd go, oh, well, you know, maybe there's like a few of them here. And they would hem and haw. And I think it really has to do with that old stigma about, you know, the crystal ball. Is it true or isn't it true? Bottom line is, I have been blessed with this, or not blessed, depending on how you look at it, since I was little. My mom has stories from when I was 2, and I can't even recollect. I mean, I think my earliest recollection is from when I was 9, and we were out to dinner in Maryland visiting a relative. We're at a restaurant, and for no reason at all, out of my mouth comes, it's going to be dark when we go home. And the funny thing is my aunt looked at me and said, yeah, okay, you're brilliant. Thank you so much. It's nighttime. And, you know, it was discounted immediately. And my mom, though, over the years has always been very supportive of anything I've said. And, you know, it's been, well, let's see what happens. Meanwhile, we got home. There was a brownout for 10 blocks.
Oh.
So, you know, even family who knew that I did this didn't necessarily pay attention. So I'm not surprised when the average person goes, eh, yeah. Plus, like, again, any other field, you have good and bad. I mean, how often do you hear about, oh, you know, attorneys and jokes about lawyers or jokes about the police? just because somebody has a gift or is capable or even has proven themselves doesn't mean there's not going to be somebody who's contrary.
Well, you know, I actually had an experience with a psychic, and this was one of those things where I'm walking down the street in San Francisco and somebody hands me a discount ticket.
Right.
Coupon, right? Like, psychic reading for $20, and I'm thinking, and I was really sad at the time, had some marital problems going on, and so I just thought, $20, what have I got to lose, right?
Right.
So I walk in, and immediately she's laying her spiel on me, and it's, oh, somebody's put a hex on you, and I'll light candles for you, and remove the curse, and blah, blah, blah.
And $500, and I'll take it away for you, right?
Right, and she looks at me, and, it's like, well, and I just looked at her, and I said, I don't trust you. I said, you're basically just running a sales gimmick on me.
Right.
And all of a sudden, she went into a different mode and told me something real about my life. And she said, you're a very creative person, but you can't create right now because you are attached to that man that just got in a car wreck. And I was like, what? Because my husband had just totaled his Corvette, 2 weeks before.
Wow.
So I was like, in that moment, I thought, just because somebody is a hoaxer or a trickster or a shyster or whatever words
or
you want
carny,
to attach to it,
right,
doesn't mean they don't have the ability.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've run into that. I was on a cruise ship, and at the time I was with my husband, and there was a gal doing readings. I went, let's go sit with her. She's got talent. And he goes, okay. Now, ironically, he sat with her, and she told him the same thing she had told the guy before him. And I sat with her, and I said, okay, what do you have to say? And she kind of looked at me, and she started to go into the same spiel, that she told the two previous people, including my husband. And I said, oh, no, that's not going to work. I said, tell me something real. And similar to your own experience, this girl all of a sudden started giving me information. And it's just so funny because oftentimes it's more about the dollar than it is their gift. They're concerned that they're not going to make money if they're not entertaining enough, if they're not big enough, if they're not scary enough. So they're not legitimate. But meanwhile, you have people such as my friend Jill Dane, whose mom is world-renowned, is in the newspapers all over the place and on television for years, and Jill as well. She and I have done events recently together. We were on an intuitive panel in February, and we just did a big program in Boca Raton recently with another friend of ours, Joseph Labruto, who's a psychic medium. And the gist that I'm getting to is these people that I've done work with are people that you can trust, that you go to. They don't say, oh, you're surrounded by evil. If they sense that there's something off kilter, they're going to say to you, like I would, this is what I'm sensing, this is what I'm seeing, and this is how you can address it to make it better. Not, oh, let me fix it for you. And for me specifically, because I believe in individual empowerment, I want to help you do what you can do to master your own life. It's not about me. It's about you. Now, do I see things? Yes. Have I been accurate? Yes. I have a gal who, it's funny, sent me a note on Facebook. She knew me when I was 15 or 16 years old. She goes, do you remember when? And she went into this whole detailed explanation about how her mother used to get aggravated when I'd call because I would phone and go, listen, Debbie's in trouble. You need to get over to so-and-so's house. And Debbie was always in trouble. I mean, there was one time I called and said, she's in a pool, she's injured, you need to get there. And she's like, what are you talking about? I said, just go over there. And she gets off the phone with me. And Debbie calls the mother and says, Mom. And she says, why aren't you getting the phone? Because that was in the days before, call waiting and voicemail and all of that. And her mom's like, because your friend just called me to say you were injured. Where the hell are you? And
wow.
Next thing you know, she's at the hospital. She's all better. Everything's fine. But this is going back years. So
this is a really unusual childhood.
Yeah, to some degree. I didn't know that what I was doing was strange until people started telling me it was strange.
Oh, wow. So it seemed normal to you.
Well, yeah, because it just came normal. There goes my great articulation. Well, yeah, you see? It's late, so all of a sudden I cannot speak nice.
There you go. I'm so glad that those kind of things tend to happen when I'm not on the air or in front of a live audience. But, but they do happen.
Well, see, you're only at 9 o'clock. I'm at midnight, so you'll have to bear with me. But
I'm going to cut you some slack, my dear.
Okay. The thing is, for as long as I could remember, I was spouting things out of my mouth. And for as long as I could remember, people would call me for assistance. And, I mean, high school was a real good example of that. I'd have friends calling at midnight sometimes and say, you know, what do you think about this? And at the time, I didn't have a label for it. I didn't know that was a psychic impression. It was just I was good at letting them know what to do. I had an understanding of what was coming next in their life.
Yeah. Huh. Very interesting. And so to you, this just seemed like not a big deal.
Right.
But other people were like, wow, give us some more of that.
Right. Hmm. Right. I remember when New Year's Eve party, my mother says to me, why don't you read for my friend so-and-so? And I said, okay. And I sat down. Next thing you know, 20 people later, I said, okay, I'm going to bed now. I don't feel good. Talk about drain, you know, but it was one of these things where my mom was just used to me doing that. And again, even with that, you know, there are certain ways for people to safeguard their energy. So if they're going to work psychically, if they're going to use their intuition, that they're not drained. But I didn't know that till later.
Oh, well, do tell, because now, you know, we talked before, and so one of the things that I wanted to bring up tonight was, you know, since you said we all have some psychic ability of some sort, and
mm-hmm.
obviously I think you would have to agree that you're more gifted than a lot of us.
I will say that I use my ability more than the average person, absolutely, because I use it every single day. And I am very aware.
Well, okay. So, and perhaps someday we can all get where you are, but maybe we don't want to.
Okay, fair enough.
Maybe that is really your gift. But I would like to be able to tap into my abilities without being terrified of them. So one of the things that I wanted to share with you is something that happened to me, I guess now it's been about 5 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It was when I was just starting to travel around the United States teaching workshops. And I walked into a room full of, it was about 30 people. I did not know any of these people. And it was in Seattle. And I was doing a workshop on sexual shame. And it was called Freedom from Sexual Shame. So
similar to your show.
I'm sorry, what?
I said similar to your show.
Similar.
Shame-free, right?
Yes, right. I'm all about the shame-free thing. So I asked people, you know, basically I hadn't, at this point now, a lot of times I'll ask people to wait and do the questions at the end. But people were raising their hands and asking questions before I even got started. And so I started answering questions, but the questions that people were asking me didn't seem right. It wasn't fitting the faces. So I started saying things like, that's not what you want to know. And then I would tell them what they wanted to know, and they'd start crying. And the more people I made cry, the more hands went up in the room, and pretty soon the whole room was just like buzzing with questions, and people were asking me some of the most profound questions about and deeply personal things about their lives, and I was just, I had woke up that morning feeling really quite empty, and I thought, this is terrible that I have nothing to give these people. So I had prayed really, really hard, meditated for a long time, and really just opened myself up to divine guidance. So by the
mm-hmm.
time I got to that workshop, I was just like falling off a cliff with no agenda. And so anyway, all the truth for these people just kept coming through, and I did a similar thing. I said, well, okay, you know, we're going to have to end the workshop now, but if any of you have any follow-up questions, please feel free to come up afterwards. Well, usually if I would say that, you know, maybe 10% of the room, 20%, well, sometimes a third of the room might get up, you know,
right,
and ask questions. But the entire room formed a queue. And I was talk about overwhelmed. I was like,
sure.
Oh, my God, I'm never going to get through 30 people. And meanwhile, there's some guy outside who's been waiting 4 hours. This was a four-hour workshop. I went really deep with people. He'd been waiting for 4 hours because they closed the doors when I began the workshop and wouldn't let him in.
Wow.
He waited 4 hours, then he waited another 2 hours while I went through this list, this long line of 30 people who were in a queue. And he was the last guy in the queue, and he's like, I've been waiting 6 hours and traveled 2 hours to get here just to meet you and you know, meet you face to face. And I'm like, oh my God, this felt like so much pressure, like I couldn't possibly live up to his expectations. And there was this one man who drug his wife in front of me and set her down and set himself down, and he said, fix our marriage.
Oh, great.
Like,
thank you very much. This is not private sessions.
Oh, my God. Not only was it not private sessions, but I got, it was just like they were expecting me to perform miracles for them.
Mm-hmm.
And it scared me to death. I mean, it scared me in a way that I can't even explain to you. I was just completely, I'd never had anything like that happen. I too have been answering people's questions about their lives since I was about 17. People started coming to me for questions about sex and relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been that way since I was 17. So that's a long time ago.
Absolutely.
And at college, my room was voted Grand Central Station because there were so many people in and out of my room asking me for advice about sex and relationships. And it was ludicrous because I was no example.
But obviously, you came into this world with a certain knowing, a certain level of understanding.
At least
identified
for other
it or
people.
Not.
I understand what's going on with other people. I'm not always good with myself, but I understand what's going on with them. And so anyway, I came home after this, I guess, you know, it was certainly a phenomena I'd never experienced. To be able to read people's minds was very unnerving for me. And it wasn't, you know what, I've got to tell you, reading their minds really was not unnerving at all. It felt like just not, you know, like just surrendering.
Mm-hmm.
That's all it felt like. I was just surrendering.
That's exactly what you did. You asked for divine guidance. I mean, you said the key right there, divine guidance. Before I do a reading for someone, I have a session with someone, I always do a little prayer. I do a little meditation session, and I ask that I be guided with the most accurate, loving information for this individual that is appropriate for them in this moment. And the fact that you said you were empty, well, the universe just filled you right up and gave you the ability to connect with every single person in that room. You have to be careful of what you ask for.
Yeah, well, I wasn't ready to be able to handle that. I got to tell you, I went home and took to my sick bed, and I stayed in bed sick for 2 solid weeks.
Because you were completely drained. You see, you literally gave yourself away. All right, let me try to articulate this in a way that it makes sense. Think of yourself as a hollow bone. When you're a hollow bone, the information comes through and then moves out and goes directly to whom it needs to go. If you are just a funnel, then the top is wider and the information seems to pool inside of that funnel before it moves out. You follow me so far?
Yeah.
Okay. So in that particular situation, you were more the funnel than the hollow bone. You held on to the other people's stuff, which means that you took their energy as well as your own and let it slowly seep out. And that's where the drain comes from. Whenever I work with a student, whether it's in a group or it's one-on-one, I always teach them how to ground, how to get centered. And for me, most importantly, is to have that divine connection, to ask to be guided, to ask to be protected and safeguarded, so that you are sharing divine information and not giving yourself away. See, in that situation, you didn't know because of your circumstance, whatever was going on in your life at that moment, you weren't feeling quite up to par, so you turned it over, you surrendered.
Right.
But you didn't have that codicil on the back end that says, okay, I'm giving it all to you, and also keep me well. You just said, I'm just giving it to you. Here you go. And so you literally were completely open to all the information that came. The tough part about that is overload. If you're not accustomed to doing that, you're not accustomed to that type of vibration, that intense amount of energy,
right.
it knocks you off your feet.
Huh. So I wasn't just an avoidance pattern. I thought maybe I was just so scared I went and got sick. But you're actually saying that I was drained.
Yeah, exactly. I'll give you an example where you can probably relate, and many people listening in can as well. When you pray, or you are in a space of gratitude, or you meditate, you'll find that there's a certain level of peace that seems to come to you, and yet you seem to be energized.
Yeah.
Okay. In that state, your physical energy, that electromagnetic field that we are connected to, okay, as well as your psychic energy, are at a heightened state. When you're in that heightened state, you are able to see things more clearly. You are able to process information better. You are able to connect with people better. And yet, your physical body, if you do not maintain that state on a regular basis, can only allow you to stay at that level for so long. And then there's a drop. It's almost, I'll give a funny analogy, like a sugar high. You know how you can think, oh, I'm a little sluggish and I'm going to have some sugar or some caffeine, and you get picked up, and for that moment or for several moments, you're at a certain level and you're running and you're doing, and then all of a sudden, poof, you hit bottom.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same thing with energy. Unless your physical body is acclimated, then you're unable to sustain that level for long periods of time without being drained. But there are ways to acclimate.
So, and what are those?
One of the easiest way is to get into a habitual pattern of meditating twice a day for 20 minutes a day. Anytime you do breath work, anytime you do still work,
Yeah. You
connect to the divine, which means you raise your vibration, which also means you protect yourself. It's like a battery charge.
Okay. So meditating gets you, which does meditation do? Help you acclimate yourself to being in that higher vibration, or recharge your battery so that you don't run out of juice?
Meditation, I could give you a list, let me tell you.
Well,
my favorite things, truly, because it does both. It raises your vibration. It acts as a charge. It helps keep you stable, helps keep you centered, brings in more awareness. And, I mean, as far as benefits that are totally separate from what we're talking about, if you take a look at the medical school journals, you'll find documented evidence that meditation also keeps you younger and healthier. But that has to do with raising your energy vibration. The
okay.
New England School Medical Journal has documentation in probably 30, if not more, places in respect to meditation and its benefits.
Well, yes, I'm familiar with a lot of this, but I'm not familiar with them as they apply to accessing one's psychic abilities.
Okay, let me perhaps put it in a different way. If you were doing something artistic, such as cooking, painting, creating, daydreaming, you'll find yourself in an altered state of consciousness, meaning
sure.
that time could pass, it could be 3-4 hours, and you don't even notice because you're in that state.
Yes.
When you're meditating, you are in a similar state. It all has to do with the right hemisphere of the brain, that part of the self that is more abstract, that part of that self that is connected to your awareness, to divinity. When you're in that space, it's as if what you know to be the norm, the analytical, the linear thought, doesn't apply. So you're not harbored by things outside of yourself. You have the ability to recharge. You have the ability to be connected to all-knowing. This make sense?
Somewhat.
Okay.
Somewhat.
Somewhat. Okay. So ask a question. Maybe I can clarify.
Oh, you know what? We've got a caller on the line.
Okay.
Caller, are you there?
Secret
well,
caller.
Well, I'm not coming through. Sass, if you can hear me, I just got your Twitter. It just came in. But, no, I did not hear any of the beeping, and I didn't know we had a caller. So, please send, if there are callers, please just send them through. Hello? Hello?
I called in.
Okay. Okay, Veronica, what's that about?
Well, interesting. Interesting. What do you make of that, Hallie?
Confused. Even for me.
Oh, my God. Well, that was interesting. You know, is Mercury still retrograde?
It is. And but the funny thing about that is, you know, I never pay attention. I'm aware of the fact when it hits because many of my friends are astrologers and they'll go, oh, it's coming again. I'll say, oh, is that why I feel off? Because typically I feel it anywhere from 3 days to 10 days beforehand. And they'll tell me, oh, you know, the effects are only 3 days before and sometimes, you know, a week after. And it's kind of like a puddle. You know, you throw that rock into the puddle and it has that ripple effect that seems to keep going for a while, even though the puddle stopped or the rock stopped moving.
Right.
It's that whole Mercury retrograde thing. You're feeling the effects after as well as before because it's on its way. There it is. Electronics and I don't normally get along as it is, and during this period it's very funny the things that happen.
I'll bet.
Hello?
What happens with you in electronics?
Okay, this is cute, and the gal at the office could verify this. It's so funny. When I first moved into my new office space, it was the previous space for about 8 years, and I just moved into my other space, I guess about 9-10 months ago. They have changed more light bulbs and fixed their computers more frequently than ever before. And often when I walk next to the front desk, the receptionist will say, can you back up, please? I'm like, what's the matter? Are your computer going kaplooey again? She says, you know, every time you stand next to this computer, it goes blank, it has wavy lines, it doesn't do what it's supposed to do, so move away. It's cute because there's a few of us in the office now because I have referred several friends to come in and rent space in this executive center, which is just lovely, and the people are lovely. But now it's a constant where several times during the week something blows up, something doesn't work, and they have repairmen in.
Amazing. So and now is there a logical explanation for that?
There is. It's just simply a matter of an energetic overload. And I know people listening to this are probably thinking, you've got to be kidding. But it's true. It's energy is palpable, and I'll give a real quick, easy analogy. You can go to a friend's party, and let's say the husband and wife had a fight before you walked in the door, right? And they greet you, and they give you a big hug and kiss, and they're smiling, and yet you're sensing something's off. You don't know how you're sensing it or why you're sensing it, but you know something's not right. You feel a heaviness in the room or a density in the room. And after everybody leaves, you walk over to your girlfriend, and you go, are you and him fighting? And she'll say, how did you know? Because you felt it. It's palpable. It's the same thing with psychic energy.
Sounds like we've got a caller.
Are they coming in? Okay, good.
Hello? Caller, you're live in the shame-free zone.
Hey, is this Hallie?
This is Hallie, yes.
Hallie's here, yes.
Hi, this is Andrew Weiss.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good. I met you at the comedy club.
That's why the name sounded familiar.
And the Lady Christopher's.
Yes, that's right. How are you this evening?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Wonderful. So what can Veronica and I do for you this evening?
Well, I was unsure as to what your program was about.
Well, Holly's actually volunteered, very, very graciously and generously volunteered to give little mini psychic readings tonight. So if you had a question for her about your life or maybe just 2010 in general, she's here to answer your question.
Okay, yeah, I do. I have a mini question.
Okay.
I wanted to know about my company, AURA. Should I keep it private, or should I turn it over to somebody to market it?
The feeling is, at least for now, I'm seeing approximately a 20-month growth period, which sounds like a very long time, but it'll fly by. Initially, my feeling is that it should stay private, though what I would suggest is you hire somebody in who has more marketing background than you, who has actually, there's somebody, if you contact me off the air, that I'm thinking of that might be of value to you who's in the marketing business. Okay, let me make this a little more succinct for you. The overall impression is the company has great value, but you are very personally involved in the company. And even when it comes to the marketing and the sales and the advertising, you take things very personally. So it would really behoove you to have somebody else come in and handle that aspect of you and just allow them to run everything by you so you can supersede anything that would make you feel uncomfortable.
Okay.
All right.
That makes total sense. Yeah, that's
okay.
Good.
And like I said, if you want, you can give me a holler. Christopher has the phone number off the air, and I'll be happy to give you that other individual's name as well.
Andrew, we have time for you to ask one more question. Do you have one more question for Hallie?
What?
Is that a what? This is good.
Andrew, are you there?
Hey, love to Hallie from Summer Fling.
Aw, thank you. Did you hear that, Veronica, Summer Fling?
Oh!
There's a story behind that, but too long.
Okay, sounds like it's an inside joke.
It is. Never mind.
Thank you for calling, Andrew. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Okay. Bye.
Bye-bye. Obviously, Christopher shared something with him.
So, you know, it's really interesting just following along with the energy, because I do a lot of tracking of energy when I'm working with my clients over the phone. And it's really interesting because I was also thinking that he should not go public yet.
Mm-hmm.
But that's all I got. And then you come out with all this other stuff. It's amazing. So, does he read like that for you? I mean, kind of like a book or something?
In earnest, it depends on the person. Some people I get almost like a miniature movie in my head. Other people I get flashes of pictures. With others, I literally hear words that need to be shared. Other times it's more sentient, like it was just then. It was more of a sensation, more of a feeling that I was sharing.
Interesting. That would be the latter. That's all I ever get. All I ever get is just, it's like sensation.
See, think about this, though, for a minute, Veronica. When you're with a client, whether it's on the phone or in person or even with a group, your whole purpose in that moment is to be there for that person or those persons.
Yeah.
So you are going to be connected to their energy. You're going to be connected to whatever it is their needs are. And it's not just about talking, but about hearing what they have.
Well, and usually I actually can point to exactly when they told me what I was going to tell them. It's like, okay, that incident in Seattle, that was totally different. I mean, because people said one thing and I told them something else.
Right.
But usually people tell me exactly what I need to tell them, and I tell them, well, you just told me. And they go, how'd you know that? And I go, because you just told me. You're not listening to yourself, but I am.
Exactly. But see, that's the point. You're listening. And it's simply a matter of listening at a different level.
Yeah. Yeah, you are listening at a different level. Definitely. Definitely. I felt like I got the first tier of it, and I'm going, well, she's going to tell him not to go public yet. And then you're like 20 minutes, and you're brutally modeling. Whoa. Where do you get all that? So what chances does a psychic have of having a normal life?
Oh, very easy. As long as you're not walking around going woo-woo, you're fine. And I don't mean to be facetious, but I've met a few people who are very gifted, but they're like something out of the 60s. You know, they're barefoot, and there's no affront here to anybody who comes from the 60s. It's just they're into that whole, oh, I have to walk around in kind of a spacey mode, and I have to just go with the flow, and what's your sign? And there's no normalcy in that. There really isn't. I have no qualms and no problems going from one side to the other, meaning that when I need to be analytical and I need to be very focused about something, very pragmatic, I can be. But when I need to shift, I do as well.
So if somebody's in a relationship with you, though, and they want to have privacy, I mean, I'm just like thinking out the wall.
Oh, boy. I wonder if my ex is listening.
Okay. Sounds like there's a great story here. Please tell.
Okay. He used to get ticked off because he'd want to surprise me, and he'd show up on the doorstep thinking he was going to take me out for dinner, and I was dressed and ready to go.
Oh, you are terrible.
And he'd say, you know, I was going to surprise you. And it used to really piss him off. The first several years of the relationship, he used to say, get out of my head. And then we got divorced, and then we got back together, which is a story, but that's way too long. And when we had gotten back together, he says, oh, I'm used to it now. Till the tail end of things, when we split again, which wasn't all that long ago, and yeah. I was picking up on things when he was in a different state, and I was calling him on it. So yeah. He wasn't all that thrilled.
Oh, yeah. Well, I guess you wouldn't be if you're wanting to keep a...
Well, you want a funny story. We were married, and our daughter was, I think, about 2, perhaps 3 years old. And he walks in from work, and I said, so I think the gal had red hair. I'm going to use that as an example because I don't recall the exact color of hair. But I said, who's the gal with the red hair who kissed you? And he's like, what? I said, come on. He's like, what are you talking about? I said, oh, don't friggin' play games. He goes, well, you know, because I'm leaving the company. She came over. She said goodbye. Blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no. You have to see this. He was totally oblivious, but this was something that happened like that day that he came home and I mentioned.
We've got another caller. Caller, okay. Hello. Thank you for joining us in the Shame Free Zone.
Hi, Veronica.
Hello?
Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. I think, at least I can. Can you, Veronica?
I can barely hear, but the important thing is that you can hear.
Okay.
Go ahead. Please share your question for Hallie.
I've had a pretty couple of rough years, and I'd like to know what I need to do to sort of break through some obstacles for this year.
Oh, goodness. One of the first things that I get with you is you have to take care of your health. And I'm not just talking about emotional. I'm talking about physical. And they are definitely very linked together because of your emotional state being kind of on a roller coaster. It has affected your physical well-being. So one of the first things that I would like to suggest for you to do this year is find somebody that you can confide in that instead of commiserates with you, says to you, you know what, that was in your past, but you're doing so much better now. You know, somebody who's going to help keep you on track. That's the first thing. The second thing that I get is you really have to get clear about where you want to live. I feel like it's almost as if feeling as if you're in a prison, that there's weight I get on your chest, the discomfort. And I feel like you really have to get clear with yourself. It's really not about anybody else. It's more about you. And also understand that you are entitled and that you deserve better. There's this aspect of yourself that you keep coming back to, which is kind of like, well, this is the way it is and this is the way it's going to be, even though you truly want out of it. And you're not unlike some people who, and please don't take this the wrong way, but they're comfortable in their discomfort, meaning that it's familiar. Not that you like it, but you know what to expect. There is fear in the unknown, and the overall impression truly is get clear. Make a decision for yourself what you want to see as better, and again, get like a partner or an individual who can help boost you so that when you start to say, you know, this is really miserable and I'm not feeling good and I really wish this would change, they can reflect back to you and say, you're right, your feelings matter, they have value, but you know what? Just because that's the way it was yesterday and that's the way it is this afternoon does not mean it has to be that way later today or tomorrow. So that you constantly get somebody to help lift you. Reading material from Dr. Wayne Dyer is absolutely wonderful. Reading material from Dr. John D. Martini, also fantastic. Take a look at thankgodi.com, as well as the book. I'm in their second volume along with Dr. Bernie Siegel and some other folks, and it is endorsed by Jack Canfield from Chicken Soup of the Soul. But there are stories in there about heartache and about being able to transform that and seeing, believe it or not, the good that comes from it when you're not attached to it and how you can move forward in your life.
Mm. Caller, are you still there?
I am.
Did you find this helpful?
The knowing where to live is actually a big part of the issue, and having the resources to actually have a place to live is an issue.
Right, but here's the thing.
Right on.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just saying that was right on. That is sort of the obstacle for me right now.
Okay, so let me really truly suggest and really hear this, because I believe it'll be of value to you. If you start to picture in your head what you want as your outcome, not how you're going to get there, but just start to see a better outcome, that will begin to lift your spirits. When you begin to lift your spirits and you're in a more positive frame of mind, then you start to create more opportunities for yourself. You start to see more clearly what's around you. And even though it's not an immediate change, it will change.
Right.
All right.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
I thank you.
Thank
wow.
you.
Again, right on. It's amazing. It's amazing just to watch you work.
Thank you.
You mentioned the Thank God I book, mm-hmm. and you do have a chapter in there. Where can people get a copy of it?
They can go to thankgodi.com. They can go to my website at... Hello?
We've got a fast busy there. If there's a caller coming through, please speak up. Otherwise, I think that was just a hang up there.
Okay. I thought I lost you. I'm like, oh, great. California and Florida doing well.
Barring another earthquake, we'll be just fine.
Okay, so to answer your question, as far as Thank God I, it can be found on Amazon. It can be found on the thankgodi.com website. I have two sites right now for myself, because one, HallieElise.com, is actually being constructed as we speak. And the older one, though, would have the link for Thank God I, and that is Mysteries Lady. .byregion, and that's byregion.net. Plus bookstores. If you go into a bookstore and say, hey, I want a copy of Thank God I, they'll be happy to give it to you.
Well, I'm sure listeners, whoever didn't want to put their personal stuff on the air tonight or post it on my wall on Facebook, probably would like to work with you privately. Now, I'm assuming you work with people over the telephone.
I do.
So you take clients from around the United States.
As well as out of the country. I've got clients.
And how do they contact you? How does that work?
Okay. If somebody wants to have a session over the phone, they can either email me, or they can Facebook me, or they can text me, or call. I'm pretty available. Seriously, though, email or phoning for your initial conversation, just to get an idea of how I work and what the fees are, and setting up appointments is very simple.
Okay. Which one of those websites would be the best to contact you?
Probably the easiest is to go to HallieElise.com, and where it says, I believe, contact us or connect with us, something like that on the tab. And then there's the email address right there.
Okay. And I'm putting this out on Twitter, too. So if our listeners happen to be on Facebook or Twitter right now, I'm Veronica Monet. And you can find me at twitter.com/Veronica Monet. Or Facebook, you can friend me. That'll take a little more turnaround time, but
that's
anyway.
That's true. I'm still waiting for you to friend me on Facebook.
You are! I am!
Which is pretty funny.
Well, I'm sorry, honey.
It's okay.
What kind of request do I have? I'm going to have to check that out.
That's too funny. Your callers can also send me a message through Twitter as well.
Good.
On there, though, believe it or not, it will be Lady Witch 9.
Ooh. Lady Witch 9.
Mm-hmm. Or they can do a search under Hallie Elise, either or.
Okay. Well, now, we've got a couple more minutes here, and I've got a couple of questions for you.
Dive in.
What's your read for 2010?
Okay. I see a lot of economic changes, and it's funny, this came up just last week when I was at the club in Boca, but... So many people are worried about real estate. You know, what's going to happen? It's going to keep going down. What's going to be? And truly, my feel on the matter is it's already started to take a turn for the better. And there's going to be slow graduation this year where things are going to continue to lift up. But 2011 is where they'll see the accumulation of things being level and more in harmony again. So individuals looking for homes this year, this is a great year to purchase and even to invest. I know many investors were thinking, well, you know, you can't really make profit. But the truth of the matter is they can go in at a great price this year, purchase perhaps a couple of properties, and as the property value starts to go up, they're ahead of the game, both by having a rental property as well as, you know, income that will continue to grow. So forecast-wise, real estate is on the uphill. And this is, what are we in? We are in January, yes? I'm going to say right. By summertime, I'm feeling the average person is going to really see a nice change. So there's something to look forward to.
So those of us who have mortgages could possibly see us going, the value of our house increasing again?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I don't get the overinflated prices. For instance, if a home was $600,000, I don't see it going back up to $3.5
million. Right, right.
But I do see it stabilizing in the marketplace where a more true value is appropriate. So maybe
people who are upside down right now won't be, huh?
Right, exactly. They're going to be closer to where they should be. And they just need to have a little patience. I've heard of so many people saying, oh, no, I'm getting rid of it. I'm going to just, you know, I'm just going to rent. I'm not even going to own. I would say hold on if you can. Find a way to hold on because it's definitely going to turn for the better. I get, you know, Florida in general tends to be a hurricane capital, so to speak.
Yes.
Thankfully, we didn't have any this past season, and I did predict that. I had a client who specifically likes to know about hurricanes because she lives alone. She says, are we having any? I said, no, you don't have anything to worry about. I do get the sense, though, that was for 2009. And I did mention, though, that one popping up at the end of the season out in the water, but that it would dissipate. And if you were watching the news, it did. Yeah, as to 2010, my feeling is we will have one that comes in, but I don't get it being strong. So, you know, maybe a Category 1, it just doesn't have that heavy hit as it did. It's interesting because the year that we had Wilma, and you'll have to forgive me because when it comes to time, I'm oblivious unless somebody actually gives me the date. It's like I can give you events and specifics, but not the date for some reason. That eludes me. But that particular year, I said, okay, put important papers in Ziploc bags, pack up a kit to go. And my husband at the time is looking at me like going, what are you talking about? I said, just do it. And he's going, why? We never do that. And I said, I'm telling you, we need to do this. And we literally watched our fence fly away, neighbor's trees come flowing around the house. You know, it was pretty intense. So, I kind of knew that one was coming. And as far as 2010, the feeling is there's going to be one, but I really don't get it being a heavy hitter, which I'm very thankful for.
Yeah, I'll bet you are.
There is a sense of, I'm going to say, something comparable to a tsunami happening again, which I'm sad to say. But the feel here is that the region is a little bit more prepared, not emotionally, but I'm going to say as far as the government. It's almost as if they're anticipating it now because of what's taken place. So it'll be a little bit easier for them to recover this time around.
Good.
I just feel like they're going to have more help than they've had in the past.
Well, Holly, I've got one last question for you. And
sure.
This is a personal one for myself.
Okay, you got it.
Which book should I write?
Okay. It's as you started to say which, the word sex jumped out at me as if it were the first word in a title. So I'm not clear if there is where, all right, this is going to sound kind of funny, where the word sex is in big letters or stands out in one of the two titles. Or if it's more a matter of it's about content being very hard-hitting. If you have names, I can tell you which out of the names or a piece of a name if you want.
Okay. There's a book about relationships.
Mm-hmm.
There's a book about my life, and there's a book about animals.
Okay, this is funny. The one about animals is for you, meaning you should write it for you, but I don't feel like it's the one, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
The relationships is okay, but the truth of the matter is, now I know why I got the word sex. It's the one about your life.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
What's the guy you're going to laugh? The one who wears glasses, who's on late night, who does the interviews. But he's an older gentleman. He's been
Larry
around.
Larry King?
There you go. Write that one. That's where you're going to be. That's who you'll be talking to.
You're kidding.
Why is that funny?
I don't know.
Okay.
It's kind of given me the, I don't know, you know, it's all tingly.
Oh, good. Well, tingly is usually confirmation.
That's what I'm getting. That's okay. What I thought. I mean, like, if I get all tingly, then, that yeah, it's kind of like embarrassed. Is that kind of a sensation? Excited and embarrassed.
I was going to say, it feels like a mixture of angst, excitement, and embarrassment all rolled up into one.
Yeah, yeah. So tingly just seemed like the right word.
Mm-hmm.
Is but that truly, a common response when you hit it?
People will say, I just got chills all over, or I just felt warm all over. So, yes, there's usually a physical sensation when something is very apropos.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, you're not the first psychic I've had on this show. I have never been more impressed with a psychic in my life, honestly.
Oh, thank you. That's so nice of you.
You're amazing. You're absolutely amazing. And
so when would you like to book your session?
Huh?
So when do you want to book your session?
I'm definitely going to have one. No, it just, and now I'm having a hot flash. It must be time to get off the air, Howie.
We didn't even talk about sex and psychicism, so I guess we'll have to save that for another time.
You know, I'd really like to have you back on the show.
And
I'm positive that my listeners feel the same. So
thank
let's
you.
Do that.
Okay.
Okay. All right. Thank you so much for gifting us with your, it's very generous of you to open up and give so much free to us tonight. Thank you.
Oh, my pleasure. This was fun, and I look forward to doing it again.
Good. One more time. It's www.Halley, that's spelled H-A-L-L-E-Y, Elise, which is spelled E-L-I-S-E.com. Contact Halley and get your own personal rating for 2010. Thanks, Halley.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody, for listening, too.
Good night.
Good night, hon.
Thank you for tuning in tonight. If you liked what you heard and you want more solutions for your love life, please call me toll-free at 888-903-0050. Once again, that number is 888-903-0050. I am the only person who answers that line, and I am usually available Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. You can also visit sexwithoutshame.com to discover more of what I can do for you. And remember, your secret is safe with me.